Let's all stand this morning for the reading of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, going to read one verse out of there this morning, verse 28. Acts 20 and verse 28. Acts 20 and verse 28. Say amen when you found that scripture.
Amen.
Amen. Acts 20 and verse 28, read with me, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." You may be seated.
This morning's message is titled, "A Balanced View of the Church, Part 1." A balanced View of the Church, Part 1. Acts 20, verse 28, what this tells us is that the church is precious to God. What did he give for the church? His life. He purchased the church with his own blood. Okay? The church is the body of believers together. Is that right? So does God value us together? Yes. Does he value the church as a whole? Does he value the individual? Absolutely. But there's something special he also has for the church. Is that right? It's precious to him. The church was ordained by God, and the Lord will build it upon himself. He is the rock of our salvation. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Use your Bibles a lot this morning, so please keep them handy. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Matthew 16 and verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus Christ was saying, "You're right," and it gave Simon Barjona, Peter, there, a new name, Peter, "Thou art Peter," which means little pebble. He says, "Upon this rock," he's talking about himself, "I will build my church." Look, if the church is going to be built on Peter, this is before Peter denied him. What kind of a church would it be? Wishy-washy, jump out 1 minute off on the water and run away the next. Says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God, which Jesus Christ was talking about himself, he is the rock that the church is built upon. He is the rock of our salvation. He said, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." So if he's building the church upon himself, that means he's the foundation. It's ordained. He wants it to be built. Is it ever, you ever feel sorry for people when you drive by and you see a foundation and no house? Yeah. For a couple years? What's going on over there? Maybe a wall goes up. You feel a little sorry for whoever started that project, right? Well, Jesus wants the church to grow and be built. He doesn't want it just to maintain. He wants it to grow. And he said he will build the church. Okay? Look at Acts chapter 2. And we'll see him building it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts chapter 2 verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Okay, talking about the fellowship of the believers here, verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were" what?
Together.
"Together. and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord. They're together in the temple and breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Jesus is building his church. Look here, though. The church was unified. The church was a team. The church assembled together with one accord. They loved each other. They helped each other. That's a good church. Yeah. Amen? The Lord added to that church. The Lord is supposed to, look, the church is supposed to be preaching the gospel, and the Lord adds to the church those who are saved through belief in the gospel. A non-growing church is a non-gospel spreading church. A growing church is actively telling others about salvation through Jesus Christ. A healthy church is unified. It is a body, one mind, one direction, following after Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at what Jesus Christ thinks of the church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Let me just say, you need to have a balanced view of what the church really is, to know your place in the church, to know why you come to church. Okay? Because if you're coming to church for the wrong reason, you will not be able to glorify God correctly, and the church will not be able to thrive like it should. I mentioned this a little bit last week and build upon that thought this week, but here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the what? The body of Christ." So what is the church? It's the body of Christ. So who are we together collectively? The body of Christ. That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? The body of Christ. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So church, part of the reason and purpose for church is for you to grow, the perfecting of the saints, you to grow spiritually, so you can be conformed more like Christ and look more like Christ. And when you walk out in the world, they'll see Jesus in you. Amen? Verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him." You ever heard the saying, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, or he's a chip off the old block? Okay, Jesus is the rock we're supposed to be chipped off of. I'm not necessarily calling him an old block. I'm just saying. He's the rock we need to be resembling. Amen. All right? We need to grow up into him. Miss Christine, I got to be up there during the surgery and some of her brothers. And there's one brother. I mean, it looks like Miss Christine's twin as a man. So I was almost like scary a little bit, you know. And I told her, I said, "That's like your twin brother. He's like just like you. Mannerisms and everything." And she said, "Yep." Said, same father. Let me just say, you look a lot like your father, and you're going to have the same mannerisms. Christians, you're supposed to look a lot like your father and have the same mannerisms. Are you with me? You're supposed to grow up into him. You're supposed to model him, replicate him, mirror him. And part of the reason God has the church is so that you can be perfected spiritually to look like him. Okay? "Grow up into him in all things," which is the what? The head, even who? Christ. He's the head of the body, from whom the whole body, that's us, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, every single one of you adds something. You supply something to some joint of this church body to make this body work. Are you with me? How many are thankful you have a left foot? Amen. You're just thankful you have a right foot? Yeah. Okay. How good is the left foot without the right foot? Not so good. We're thankful we have knees, aren't we? And it'd be great if when you wake up in the morning, your left leg would show up on time, right? Because if left leg doesn't show up, how are you going to do out of bed? It's not going to be so good. Let me just say, last week during the ice storm, we were missing a couple legs, arms, and eyes around here. And then Thanksgiving, everybody was away. The church was different. How many were here? Church felt different, didn't it? You know what it feels like this morning? Like we're whole again. The body's back. Got our left arm back. We could get out of bed with our left foot back in place. You know, back from vacation. I understand vacation, sickness, and everything. But we all supply something to this body of Christ. We're all important for the functioning of this body of Christ. And God put you in this church for what you provide to this body unto the edifying of itself in love. But Christ is the head of the body. He's the authority. He is the leader. He is the one choosing the direction of the church, which is the body of Christ. So the church is the body of Christ. Is that right? Okay. And he shed his blood for the body of Christ, the church. Is that right? So is coming together and meeting as a church important to him? Very important to him, isn't it? He shed his body, his blood for the church. Look at chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 22. Just the relationship of Jesus Christ to the church. Chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." In other words, the same kind of dynamic in the home. Christ is the leader here. We as the church body are supposed to submit to his leadership in all things. Okay? Therefore, verse 24... look at verse 23. "For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So the church is supposed to be submitted to Christ in what? Everything. The way we sing songs is to please who? The kind of songs we sing is to please who? How we dress when we sing is to please who? The version of the Bible we preach from is to please who? It's all about God. Amen. Everything we do here at Victory Baptist Church is to please God. Amen. It's for him. He's the head. He's in charge. Verse 25, "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." God loved you so much, church, he gave himself for you that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You know what happens every single time you come to church and hear the preaching of the word of God? You get some more spiritual washing. Hey, there's sin out there and weights that easily beset us, okay? You know, how many times do you have to take a shower? Once a week? There's a lot of things that easily beset you each day. And it's really, we really appreciate it if you could, you know, clean yourself up at least once a day. Right? But look, spiritually, there's a lot of stuff that'll stick to you. Spiritually, we'd really appreciate it if you clean yourself up once a day. Spiritually. Get in your Bible. Pray. I tell you, you can tell someone who hasn't been cleaned up spiritually. You can tell somebody who hasn't brushed their teeth in a while when you're having a conversation or cleaned themselves physically in a while. You're like... Right? They're talking, you're leaning away. I tell you, attitude-wise, you can tell somebody who hasn't cleaned themselves up spiritually in a while.
Yep.
You're like, think you need to get into the Bible. Amen? Amen? Where the church was supposed to be sanctified. He gave himself for it. He wants to sanctify and cleanse us, the church, by the washing of water by the word. Why? Verse 27, that he might present it to who? Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This church body is supposed to be holy and without blemish and unified and glorifying Jesus Christ every single time we meet. Because he is the reason we meet. Okay? Verse 28, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Verse 29, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Let me just say, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you like he loves himself. Think about that. He loves you as much as he loves himself. So is it important for us to show up to church?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Look, when you're not in your place on Sunday, I know obviously there's sickness and there's ice and there's snow and there's hail and there's thunderstorms and electricity goes off and you can't clean yourself up, and we thank you for waiting until you're cleansed. But if you can make it and you don't, it's hard for the church to move properly without its foot here.
Amen.
It's hard for the church to function properly without the ears being here. An imbalanced view of the church has produced an unbiblical approach to church, such as, one, it's optional. Luke 22:19-20 says, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood which is shed for you. He said, this do in remembrance of me. It's an ordinance given to the church. You can't do it if you're not here. Right? He gave a command. He's expecting the church to get together. Okay? Another unbiblical approach to church is that you can have church at home by yourself just as well as you can by going to church with everyone else. I've knocked on doors and had people say, I can worship God just as good here as I can at church. Well, you might be able to worship him, but you can't have church.
Amen.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12:12. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. You got five fingers on this hand and five on this. You got a lot of members on you. I mean, you got two ears and 10 toes and two kneecaps. You got a liver. You got a spleen. We're glad when the heart shows up. Amen. Right? Okay. The body is, just like the body is one members, so also is Christ, or Christ Jesus' body, the church. Verse 13, it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Let me just pause and just say this, okay? Help you with something. If you aren't scripturally baptized, you aren't part of the church body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. You can't have church with one person. You can worship God with one person. You can go into your closet and pray with one person. Absolutely. But you can't have church. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I'm glad my foot doesn't say that to my hand. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath who? God set the members, every one of them, where? In the body, which is what? The church. God has set every single one of you into this church body as it hath pleased him. Why are you here? Let me just help you with something. You're not here for you. You're here for him.
Amen.
And you're not here because it pleases you. You're here because it pleases him. And that's a misconception and an unbalanced view of church. If you're coming to church to please yourself, you're going to leave displeased. Because that's not what church is for. You come to please God. Let me say, when you come to please God, you'll leave pleased.
Amen.
When you come for you to be pleased, You're not going to leave refreshed very often, but discouraged. You come to please the Lord, you'll leave refreshed and encouraged. That's what's wrong with these feel-good churches, that they're always looking for the next hit spiritual song where everybody can feel tingly and sing kumbaya and feel like they felt something, but they came there for themselves to feel something. They didn't can't come there so he could feel something. And that's turned around. That's not what the church is for. I'm not trying to please my feet today. My feet are trying to please me. I tell my feet where to go. Is that right? I'm not today, okay, you're the boss today. Where do you want to go? How do you feel? You want to go this way? Oops. We're not supposed to come to church so we feel good. Now, Bible says you come to church for that reason, you will feel good and you'll be edified if you're coming to make him feel good. Amen. My feet please me. My feet have never said, I ain't going that way. Now the ground underneath him has said that. Right? But my body obeys what the head says. I'm walking over here because my brain somehow is telling me to. I don't even know how. I just thought it, and I'm like, isn't that cool? Da, da, da. I mean, you're not thinking, lift, down, lift, bend, you know. You're just moving. Isn't that nice? A lot less thinking involved. Just go. It's an imbalanced church when the church tells Jesus Christ where to go. Or the church tells Jesus Christ, we're not going over there. And a lot of these feel-good churches with they're looking for the next song and they got this praise and worship team. I'm not against singing praise to the Lord, but I believe they're mistakenly singing so that the people in the pews will get a good feeling about God and leave feeling good about themselves rather than singing so that he'll feel good about them praising him and they'll leave good because he felt good that they were there praising him. Do you see the difference? It pleased him to put you here. We're all tempered together. Look at verse number 21, 1 Corinthians 12, 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the feet, to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. That's why I'm very careful. Very careful to honor every single person of this church as much as I can in equal ability, whether it's Miss Ruth Harvey, this wonderful lady back here who rides our Sunday school bus, or Brother Nick Hartranft, who is a dentist, or Brother Libby, who is a farmer, or Miss Kelly, who is a answering service lady for if your TV breaks on Service Electric. Because she's just as important to this body as Nick and Brother Dave and Ms. Ruth. Amen. I don't know what it is Ms. Ruth Harvey adds to the church, but it pleased the Lord to add her here for what she brings. So she's important. Brother David Leib is important because God put him here for what he can add to the church. Ms. Kelly Schaefer is important for what God knows she adds to this church. And I don't know what that is. It doesn't matter. I don't need to know. All I know is God puts you here for what you bring to this body. And that makes you important to him. You important to him makes you important to me. We don't have levels in this church. Oh, you're part of the inner circle. And I don't know who, you know, I hang around you. We don't do that here. We are a body. We don't do the whole clique thing. You know, don't you hate cliques? Ugh, this is not junior high. We're adults. We don't do cliques. There's no level. I know that those who choose to work for the Lord here as a church worker, they sign a statement that says that they will live righteously and holy and that they will support the Lord's work with their tithes and offerings. So I know that the people that work here tithe because they say that they will. But I don't know how much anybody gives or doesn't give unless they tell me. And frankly, I could really care less how much you do or don't give because it doesn't really matter how much you do or don't give. That's not why whole reason why you're here. There's some that can't give a lot, but the widow's mite is a whole lot more important to God when it comes with a humbled heart than the $1 million that comes with pride. Keep your money. Give God your heart.
Amen.
I'll tell you this, you give God your heart, if he asks, you'll give him anything he wants. We don't play favorites here. Do we? We don't play favorites here. I'm mistaken, we do. The favorite here is Jesus.
Amen.
He's the favorite here. Okay? That's the way it should be. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You love each other just as much as you love the other person. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. It has blessed my heart, and I know God has been blessed with how many members have reached out and visited the Rauchs when John was in the hospital.
Amen.
I think it amazed you too, didn't it? I was like, man, the church is being the church.
Amen.
The church is being the church. Amen. By the way, Miss Vasquez is going to see Miss Christine today if you want to give her a card or something for her, a note. But verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are what? You're the body of Christ, church, and members in particular. Let me stop and say, I'm going to come to a close. An arm by itself is not a body. The church, neither is one person staying at home to worship God a church body. The body of Christ, the church, was bought with the price of his blood. Let me ask you, does it help for your arm to be healthy? Yes. Does it help your body if your arm is healthy? Yes. That means it can do more. It helps if your arm shows up, doesn't it? Amen? It helps you, the brains of the outfit, the most if your arm shows up, more than it helps your arm to show up. Aren't you glad when your arm shows up in the morning? You with me? You ever sleep on your arm and it falls asleep? And you're like, come on, show up. Or your leg? Hey, when that happens. Whoa. Show up, man. We got to get going. Let me say it helps when you show up to church. Because you're part of this body. Okay? Your spiritual health increases when you're here? Sure. And your spiritual strength helps the rest of the church? Absolutely. Your spiritual strength helps the rest of the church, but as Christ's body, you being in your place helps him the most. He, listen to this, think about this. He needs you to be here. And that's how he set it up. And don't try to explain it to me. I can't explain it to you. Why does God want us together? Why is that a special thing to him? It's the way he set it up. Why is me being in my place in church important? Well, I guess probably because if y'all came here, when maybe that's let me say, you being in your place in church is just as important as me.
Amen.
Because if you're not in your place, who would I have to preach to? We're all on the same team. We're all part of the same body. You all have been put here because it pleased the Lord, because of what you add to this church. The church benefits you, but first and foremost, I'm going to say church benefits you when you come, but first and foremost, church is for the benefit of Jesus Christ, for his glory, for his honor, for his praise. We are his. So if you are saved, may I encourage you, get scripturally baptized in deep water and join the New Testament church, because he shed his blood for it.
Amen.
And that's how he wants us to come together, to worship him as a body. If you are saved and baptized, become a member of this church and use the gifts and talents God has given you to help this body spiritually and allow him to place you here. May I encourage you to be here to show your love and submission to your God, for He is worthy. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, what an amazing thought that You love us as much as You love Yourself. You gave Yourself for us, Lord, individually. And You shed Your blood, Lord, You said, for Your church and Your body. That's Your body. And the body of Christ is us, each one, individual one of us, Lord, coming together, becoming part of the church body, Lord, to honor You, whether we're the foot or the hand or the eye or the ear, Lord. You are the head and the leader and the authority of this operation and this church, and we want to glorify You and do what You want in Your will. Lord, if there's someone here today that has accepted You as Savior but has not been scripturally baptized, Lord, speak to their heart and allow them to submit to You in that, Lord, so they can become part of Your church. If there's someone here that's been saved and baptized scripturally, Lord, that is not plugged into a church, Lord, may they get plugged in here if it be Your will, Lord, as it pleases You. And Lord, may we be in our place, obviously, Lord, weather permitting and sickness and whatnot, we understand that and things that come up, God, but if we can be here, Lord, we need to be here, Lord, for Your honor and Your glory. And if we come, Lord, with a submissive heart, coming in here to praise You through our songs and hymns, spiritual songs, and through the preaching, God, as we praise You, we'll leave encouraged and blessed and build each other up. Bless this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.